is I was on one of the Exxon tugs, and we were in Elizabeth City, you know, in their facility there, and it had to have been January 30th. I just looked up the date, which was we heard when we got in that there had been the explosion between the Queenie and I don't remember the name of the other ship, like Macquarie or something like that, and which was down in the Delaware River January 30th of 1975. And we heard, I don't know if it was on the news reports or if it was just scuttlebutt, that it was the lines were tied up incorrectly, or the, yeah, so that the hose, because the lines were tied up correctly, the hose snapped on, I think, I don't remember which one was tied and which one was moving and hit the one that was tied. And we were offloading at that point, and it was like, oh, man. And I get really scared around that. I was, yeah. I mean, I didn't have enough experience to not be scared.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, everybody was scared, but I was really scared by that. That was really frightening for me. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that a lot when I was thinking about this coming down for the interview. Was, yeah. That was one of those things that was really impactful for me, because it was just right at the beginning of my time at Exxon.
Right. And before that, had you considered it a dangerous risk that you were taking going to sea?
Not in particular.
Yeah.
Although we had to do tank cleaning on the Getty tanker because we were going into the yard, and one of our guys died, but he probably died of a stroke or a heart attack.
He died while he was on the ship.
Yes. Well, of course they don't say that.
Yeah.
But clearly, you know, from the looks of him, he had died. And he was in the tank when it happened. And, you know, a helicopter came and evacuated him. But he was gone. He was clearly gone. Must have been hard for his family. I can't imagine that.
Right, losing someone when they're out at sea.
Yeah.
So there were things that happened that made you realize that, it, you know, there were real risks.
You aren't just down by the corner store.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Well, and we'd sort of had that, I mean, even being on the, living on a boat, that's sort
right.
of true. It's not like we were out at mooring. We were right there on the shore, although
right.
the first place we lived was a marina that was an island, but in the wintertime there was a walkway across. In the summer you had to take a little pontoon ferry.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's, you're aware. Just
yeah.
aware. It's not the same.
Right.
You're not in Kansas anymore. It's a whole different thing. In fact, odd story, my refrigerator in my apartment is not running properly.
Uh-huh.
And right now, even as we speak, and one of the things that tells me it's not running properly is that it goes wah, wah, wah. And it's going wah, wah, wah because there have to be two engines in it, two motors, and they're not syncing, as in S-Y-N-C.
Yeah.
And so I never would have known that without living on a boat.
Right, right.
So anyway, offshoots of that.
What did you do after you retired from the tugs?
I went back to college and got my bachelor's, and I ended up working for a union that represented faculty members at the state colleges and universities in the state of Maine.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went off to law school, which I flunked out miserably.
Wow.
In the middle of a recession and couldn't find work at all. And eventually trained as an orthotic and prosthetic technician. Orthotics is bracing,
uh-huh.
arms, legs, backs, feet. And went on to train as an orthotist, which is not the person who's building, although they do that too, but the person who interacts with the patient and interacts with the doctor.
I see.
So, hands again.
Right.
Man, a male-dominated
yeah.
Field again.